This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
This is the Opinion and Money section of the USA Today on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024, read by Joe Palmer. School Leaders Indulge Lies on Israel, Hamas by Ari Berman. Elie Wiesel once warned the perils of indifference. Reflecting on the horrors of the 20th century, he recognized the indifference can be tempting, even seductive. It is easier to look away from the victims. It is easier to avoid interrupting comfortable lives. Indifference requires no response. Indifference is not a beginning, he said. It is an end. I thought about Wiesel's warnings as I joined the annual International March of the Living in Poland on May 6th. Since the October 7th Hamas terrorist attacks on Israel, the world's commitment to never again has been tested like rarely before. Amid a frightening rise in anti-Semitism on North American college campuses, I led a delegation of American and Canadian university presidents to join the march as a powerful reminder of what can happen when hate is left unchecked. But the problem on campuses today is different from the one described by Wiesel. If in the past the problem has been indifference, today it is indulgence. University leaders are not indifferent, they care a lot. They care about protecting their students, both pro-Palestinian protesters and pro-Israel students. But they have created a culture of indulgence. They indulge their students to break their institutional rules without consequences. They indulge one group of students at the expense of another who are being intimidated and threatened. And worst of all, they indulge lies without speaking the truth. University leaders know Hamas is a terrorist organization. In the weeks after October 7th, I spoke with school presidents from across the country, and I can tell you that they know the truth. They know that although the politics of the Middle East is complicated, one element is clear. Hamas is a terrorist organization. They know its charter calls for elimination of Jews, the Jewish state, and the murder of Jewish people. University leaders know that Hamas does not seek a two-state solution, but the final solution. Although they know this truth, they may fail to say this. This is happening in part because universities have abandoned their core mission. Too many university leaders see their roles as mere converters of conversion. In their minds, the pursuit of truth requires them to fully disengage. Instead of being educators, they have become hosts. Although all will avow with certainty that conversations must be limited when it threatens or intimidates other students, even on this score, may have failed, preferring instead short-term tactics to placate a loud protesting mob. What universities must do is reassert their role as educators. With Columbia University in the news, a past episode on its campus illustrates this point well. In 2007, Columbia hosted Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, for a speech before an address he was set to give in the United Nations the next day. There was great uproar at the time. Lee Bollinger, the First Amendment scholar who was then Columbia's president, allowed the event to take place but introduced Ahmadinejad with a scathing attack on Iranians' leaders' repugnant positions. By his actions, Bollinger expressed that the principle of free speech required allowing even the most vile views to be aired, while also demonstrating that such views must be met with a clear moral response from the university. That is free speech grounded in truth and moral clarity. Universities need to respond to extremists on campus. This is how universities must respond to extremists on campus. Extremists obscure language. They seek to muddle, not clarify. By now, does anyone really understand the implications of the phrases from the river of the sea or the globalization of infidad? Extremists use terms as dog whistles to their followers with a veneer of defensibility. This kind of muddling requires a clear response from the university leadership. The way to reclaim complexity and nuance is by informing the conversion with facts and insisting on moral clarity. Imagine if leadership of Columbia today had constantly said, since October 7th, that all matters of the Palestinian-Israeli debate are naturally open to conversation. That the way that Israel had prosecuted the war this year should be put to critical analysis, and that we must similarly place under the microscope the Palestinian people and relationship with Hamas. But one thing all civilized people should agree upon is that Hamas is a terrorist organization and using its language and symbols is morally repugnant, not just to Jews, but to all people of conscience. If this was the tone and tenor adopted by university leadership across the country since October 7th, fewer campuses would be canceling their commencement ceremonies today. Now is not the time for universities to indulge. It is the time for them to resume their primary role and educate. Rabbi Ari Berman is the fifth president of Yavisha University in New York City. Trump allies ignore laws about non-citizens voting, by Chris Brennan. Donald Trump helped save House Speaker Mike Johnson's job Wednesday, and the Republican from Louisiana was eager to repay the favor for the former president. That's why Johnson made a big show on the Capitol steps Wednesday, surrounded by a crew of legislators and activists who tried to overturn the 2020 presidential election to push new legislation to outlaw something that has already been illegal for nearly three decades. Johnson and his allies claimed to be talking about election integrity, but what they really pitched was the rigged election disinformation that Trump has been hawking for almost 8 years. This is called a messaging bill, legislation with no chance of becoming law, written only to let politicians spin an issue into an advantage. And this message mixes together Trump's favorite culture war tropes, xenophobia about immigration, and an alternative facts version of how he lost the popular vote in 2016 and the presidency in 2020. Republicans want to solve a non-existent voting problem. Johnson and his election-denying schemers were pushing the new Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, which would require proof of U.S. citizenship to register to vote in federal elections. Sounds harmless, right? That's true if you don't know much about voting rights issues. But like laws that some states have enacted requiring voters to show identification at polling places, this act completely ignores the fact that not everyone who is eligible to vote has access to documents needed to establish their identity. Sean Morales Doyle, director of the Voting Rights Program at the nonpartisan Brennan Center for Justice, told me, "It is infinitesimally rare for a non-citizen to vote in a federal election because existing safeguards prevent that. This is what he thinks of the so-called SAVE Act. It is a policy that would immediately disenfranchise millions of eligible citizens of this country," Morales Doyle said, "because there are millions of eligible citizens in this country that do not have ready access to a passport or a certificate that has their current information on it." Speaker Johnson doesn't like to be asked for proof. That's the real motive here. Voter ID laws disproportionately disenfranchise voters who lean toward Democratic Party. That's no coincidence. Morales Doyle said it has been illegal since the 1920s for citizens to vote in federal elections, non-citizens to vote in federal elections. Congress, in 1996, codified registration to vote for a federal election by a non-citizen as a federal crime eligible for prison time and fines. Then President Bill Clinton signed that into law. Johnson knows that. He used his Wednesday news conference as a naked political platform to push for Trump's election in November, repeatedly citing the immigration crisis at the southern border while talking about alleged voter fraud. He was immediately exasperated when pressed for proof, and then he just gave up the game. "We all know intuitively that a lot of the illegals are voting in federal elections," Johnson said, "but it's not been something that is easily provable." Let's translate intuitively from Trump speak to real world. The House Speaker was pushing lie with a confidence that some people who hear it will so desperately to believe it that they will set aside logic and ignore the truth. Hey, it works with Trump and his supporters. This new voting bill is part of a bigger Republican effort. Johnson was speaking just a few hours before a handful of Burn It All Down caucus members tried and failed to have him ousted in a motion to vacate. Those members are all dutiful Trump psychopaths. But Trump didn't back them on this. He stuck with Johnson, a houndy mouthpiece for attacks on President Joe Biden about immigration. That crisis came up over and over Wednesday in a thinly veiled nod to the racist Great Replacement Theory, a popular but bogus claim that Democrats urge undocumented immigrants to come to America to become citizen voters, to become non-citizen voters in numbers that overwhelm white American voters. Johnson visited Trump in Florida last month to jointly spout that conspiracy theory. That's when Trump put in motion the plan to save the speaker's job. Here's what they did discuss at Mar-a-Lago last month or the Capitol on Wednesday. Trump and Johnson in February persuaded Republicans in Congress to abandon a bipartisan deal on immigration reform crafted by Senator James Lankford as a conservative for Oklahoma. Trump's reasoning is, if you can call it that, was that he didn't want Biden to score a legislative win in an election year on an issue that Trump could keep criticizing him about. There is a bipartisan agreement that voter fraud isn't a thing. Every state has its own laws on how elections are conducted. Federal law allows states to pass legislation allowing non-citizens living here legally to vote in limited instances only in local elections, laws that exist now in 12 states and Washington, D.C. There have been long substantiated claims about non-citizens voting in federal elections. Morales Doyle said that really took off after Trump peeved that he lost the popular vote in 2016 while winning the presidency, claimed with zero proof that 3 to 5 million citizens voted against Trump. Non-citizens voted against Trump. Trump, using that as his excuse for losing the popular vote in 2016, kind of changed the conversation, Morales Doyle said. And it's not a coincidence that it's popping up again right now when Trump is once again in campaign mode. Trump, as president, even created an election integrity commission to prove that. The commission produced nothing but hot air on the topic before being disbanded in 2018. It was all just more empty messaging. The Brennan Center, which arguably leans progressive, and the Cato Institution, which clearly leans conservative, have both studied non-citizen voting in federal elections and found it to be vanishingly rare and certainly not a factor that could actually shift the outcome of an election. This bipartisan agreement shows that Trump and Johnson are pitching a solution in search of a problem, hoping that voters will just accept without much thought their shady politics on immigration and lies about elections. The more you know about all that, the less you will believe them. Follow USA Today election columnist Chris Brennan on X, formerly known as Twitter, at @ChrisBrennan on Twitter. This is the conclusion of the opinion section of USA Today on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024. This is the money section of USA Today on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024, read by Joe Palmer. Planet Fitness to raise its membership price. New members of Planet Fitness will have a heavier lift this summer. The fitness chain is raising its basic membership price for the first time since 1998. Planet Fitness will raise the price of its classic card membership from $10 monthly to $15 this summer, the company says. Planet Fitness also will do price testing for its Black Card, currently priced at $24.99 monthly. Current members paying $10 per month will not see a price change for the duration of their membership. CFO Thomas Fitzgerald said, but new members will pay $15 monthly on the membership fee. Amazon unveils 3 interactive ad formats. Less than 4 months after the streaming service started showing commercials to viewers in its lowest cost tier, Amazon announced plans to switch up the way it dishes out advertisements. Amazon outlined 3 interactive, shoppable advertising formats. Carousel ads will pop up in a sliding lineup during Prime Video ad breakouts. Pause ads will be visible when a show is paused. And brand trivia ads share facts about the brand while giving viewers the chance to add product to the Amazon cart. Apple's Crush ad ruffles the feathers of creatives. Apple's latest advertisement crushed it, and not in a good way. The one-minute ad meant to highlight the thinness of the new iPad Pro touched a nerve among some in the creative community. In the ad, a trash compactor-like contraption crushes musical instruments, a record player, a TV, a video game, arcade machine, a sculpture, and a painting, books, and cans of paint to produce an iPad. The ad landed was meant to promote the tech giant iPad even event Wednesday, but the reaction was so negative that the company issued a mea culpa. Our goal is always to celebrate the myriad of ways users express themselves and bring their ideas to life through iPad. We missed the mark with this video, and we're sorry, Apple Marketing Vice President Tor Myron said at Age. Starbucks offers deals for the month of May. Starbucks has some new deals to snag throughout May with the Summer Appy Days promotion. Every Friday during the month, Starbucks customers can get 50% off a standard handcrafted beverage from noon to 6 p.m. Starbucks Rewards members will see personalized offers in the app every Monday. The deals will appear in Offers tab of the Starbucks app. Also through the end of May, customers who download the app and sign up with the new members get 50% off link will receive 50% off handcrafted drink anytime during their first week. Attitudes Tip Against Mandatory Gratuities by Christopher Elliott. More are saying enough is enough about requests by many businesses. Tipping is dead, at least tipping as you and I understand it. A mandatory 20% gratuity on every restaurant meal, obligatory tips for housekeepers, concierge, and tour guides, kiss them goodbye. And if you want to know why, just ask Jerry Heather. Like many Americans, she is tired of the attitude that all service workers are entitled to a tip. She became exasperated with the point-of-sale terminals that solicited a gratuity before even serving her food. But then the final straw was when restaurants started to add automatic gratuities to their bill for her convenience. "I don't tip anymore," said Heather, a retired nurse from Mesa, Arizona. "Americans are known for generosity and willingness to tip for good service. But a recent poll by USA Today Blueprint found 63% of respondents say too many businesses are asking for tips, and 48% are tired of being asked for gratuity. Almost the same number of Americans, 62%, in another survey said they wouldn't give service workers year-end tips, according to the digital personal finance company Achieve. The reason? Tip fatigue. Why Americans have had enough of tipping. An increasing number of Americans believe that tipping expectations are unfair, said Carla Bevins, an expert on business management communication at Carnegie Mellon University's Tepper School of Business. And that has led to a shift in public attitudes toward gratuities. The moment behind the no-tipping movement stems from growing scrutiny over the fairness and necessity of traditional tipping practices, she explained. To hear people like Ian Duncan talk about it, it's a reaction that the widespread attitude of entitlement in the hospitality industry. It's tip jars at coffee shops, laundromats, grocery stores. It's having to pay gratuity before you even receive a meal or service. Duncan, a small business owner from Toronto, recently booked a cruise. However, when he received his invoice several weeks before his departure, the cruise line had added more than $200 in automatic gratuities to his bill. "That did it for me," he said. "I canceled the trip and asked for my deposit back." Duncan said he wants to decide who and when to tip, or whether he should tip at all, and resents that when a company assumes it's entitled to a gratuity. He also doubts that the staff will receive any automatic gratuity added to its bill, which is a valid concern. Even etiquette experts say that the time has come to talk about tipping. "Tipping evolves over time, and we are long overdue to revisit the legal and social norms for how employees are paid," said Jody R. Smith, an etiquette expert from Manor Smith Etiquette Consulting. "Even service workers agree that it's gone too far. Even people who depend on tips understand that things have gone too far." Mike Agrari, a blues guitarist who performs in the Caribbean, blames the new terminals that try to extract a tip from patrons before they receive their meal. "Leaving a tip before you receive your order seems premature. No service has been rendered yet, but there is a palpable element to guilt involved," he said. "It gets worse, actually. In some places abroad, restaurant servers come to your table with a portable payment system and ask you to enter a gratuity while they watch. Talk about pressure. But people like Aguirre are likely to suffer because the understandable tipping backlash. Many service workers have come to depend on gratuities to earn a living. Squeezing a tip out of a customer before the meal is served or under the watchful eye of your server is hardly the fault of the employee. However, the employees are likely to pay for these misguided policies. Even etiquette experts have limited their tipping. Etiquette consultant Rachel Wagner said she no longer tips at hotel service self-service snack bars, even when there's a tip jar, a restaurant where you order at the counter and at the airport food kiosk. She calls these kinds of tips, these tips, entitlements, and isn't worried about a service worker's reaction. "All this person has done for me is take my money and place my items in a bag," she said. "There's no need to tip." How to avoid tipping. Fact is, most service workers continue to rely on tips, and many believe you should always leave gratuity, but there are ways to sidestep the unspoken obligation. Go to a no-tipping business. Some hotels and restaurants advertise themselves as no-tipping. The easiest way to avoid gratuity and to encourage other companies to adopt sensible policies on tipping is to give these companies your business. have dinner at Datto Chicago, an Indian restaurant that pays its servers a competitive wage and doesn't solicit tips, or Casa Bonita, the Mexican restaurant in Lakewood, Colorado that doesn't accept gratuities. Get takeout. No reasonable person expects you to tip your restaurant worker when you get takeout. So no way to avoid leaving a gratuity is to get your next restaurant meal to go. Refuse to tip. You can also send a message to a business about tipping by putting zero in the tip line. Heather, the retired nurse who has stopped tipping, said the reaction from service workers has been one of resignation. It seems they know the system is broken, but they don't know how to fix it. The future. Gratuities based on good service. When it comes to tipping, the futures may look a lot like the past. Travelers say they don't think it's fair that they should subsidize a service worker's salary with a mandatory gratuity, but they like the traditional idea of offering a service worker a little extra exceptional service. Heather said that she's still open to rewarding good customer service with a gratuity, but she'll never again fork over 20% of her bill out of a sense of obligation. Christopher Elliott is an author, consumer advocate, and journalist. He found Elliott Advocacy, a nonprofit group that helps solve consumer problems. He publishes Elliott Confidential, a travel newsletter, and Elliott Report, a news site about the customer service industry. If you need help with a consumer problem, you can reach him here or email him at chris@elliott.org. Healthcare cuts by Walmart pain underserved communities. Lower-income residents may face long drives, wait times for doctors, by Medora Lee. For rural and lower-income Americans, staying healthy will become more time-consuming with longer drives and wait times for doctors, following Walmart's decision last month to exit the primary care business, experts say. Walmart announced on April 30th that it will close all 51 Walmart health centers in 5 states and shut down its virtual health care service because it was not a sustainable business model. The move marked a sudden shift for the giant retailer, which has said that the previous month that it planned to expand its virtual 24/7 healthcare, which includes video, chats, and calls, and its brick-and-mortar health centers, which were open during the same hours and days as its stores and staffed by primary care physicians and licensed nurse practitioners. The shift also reflects bigger economic challenges in healthcare, which is struggling with low government reimbursements for primary care, a shortage of nurses and doctors, and soaring costs for supplies and labor, experts says. What happens to those Americans now? For patients in rural areas or areas with limited resources served by Walmart, the closings will remain. The closings will mean difficulty finding health care in the near term and traveling longer distances once they do, said Hal Andrews, chief executive health care consultant from Trillian Health. People will have to go back to driving to the big city, Andrews said. Going to the doctor will take an entire day. We're going backward. When Walmart entered primary care in 2019, it said it could provide many Americans with close and easy access to primary care, including dental, vision, and mental health, since 90% of Americans live within 10 miles of a Walmart store. However, Walmart found that affordable care was not affordable for providers, even for a retail giant known for squeezing out profit from low-margin businesses like groceries. Primary care margins are small, similar to grocery margins, Andrew said. It was a difficult decision, and like others, the challenging reimbursement environment and escalating operating costs create a lack of profitability that make the care business unsustainable for us at this time, Walmart said. Those economics lay bare the challenges of running a healthcare business, said Brian Marks, University of New Haven Senior Lecturer of Economics and Business Analytics. It's problematic and suggests we need to re-examine the primary healthcare delivery system. Only the company's vision centers on pharmacies, which weren't a part of the Walmart Health, and will now stay open, Walmart said. Who most directly affects by Walmart Health's closing? Walmart ran most of its centers in rural, low-income, and underserved communities in Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, and Texas. These areas will suffer the most from the closings, Trillian Andrews said. People who came into the clinics often had not seen a primary care physician in 2 to 3 years or a dentist in 5 years, Marcus Osborne, Walmart's former vice president of healthcare and wellness transformation, told CNN in 2020. Some patients saw a mental health counselor for the first time as well. If Walmart can't make it, who can? Even Walmart, with its financial might, couldn't attract enough healthcare workers amid a labor shortage or find a way to make a profit by providing convenient, affordable primary care, experts said. It's a terrible sign that Walmart, the top Fortune 500 company, can't or decided not to continue, Andrews said. Other contenders in retail primary care have struggled too. Walgreens said that last month it would close 160 Village MD clinics across the country, and Amazon in February announced job cuts at its One Medical primary care and Amazon pharmacy units. CVS, meanwhile, said it's expanding its Oak Street Health Clinic, specializing in primary care for seniors, though it's closed some of its Minute clinics for nearly all ages earlier this year. Why Walmart Health closed and others may struggle. All these companies face similar financial hurdles that will likely lead to consolidation in care clinics, said Webb Gonklin, a former healthcare CEO and author of Here Be Dragons, One Man's Quest to Make the Healthcare More Accessible and Affordable. We're flashing yellow lights here, he said. Where will Americans go for primary care? No one can predict the future, but many experts believe virtual care or telehealth will become a larger part of care. Telehealth still may be a financial struggle for companies, some warn. Walmart Health encompassed brick-and-mortar clinics and telehealth, but the company closed both, they noted. During the pandemic, Americans were pushed toward virtual care, and it will be a part of healthcare forever, said Michael Botta, co-founder of Sesame, a healthcare marketplace connecting patients with providers. Sesame, a Costco partner, offers discounted 24/7 virtual primary and mental health care. It also offers checkups with standard labs and in-person visits. Sesame says it doesn't accept insurance, so it doesn't rely on reimbursements and can offer patients low, transparent prices. Patients can pay per visit with an individual provider or join its subscription model for ongoing care. Andrews is a telehealth skeptic. For mental health, telehealth works because people feel comfortable speaking at a distance, but most patients prefer personal interaction in a physical exam, he said. As a business, telehealth may prove challenging as well. Other than an iPhone and Wi-Fi, there are no barriers to entry, Andrews said. No one can build a competitive moat around it. Instead, he sees primary care shifting back to offices and hospitals with immediate care clinics available in densely populated areas where the economics are better. None of that helps rural, low-income, underserved communities Walmart left behind, he said. To ease the ongoing healthcare worker shortage, the University of New Haven's Marks sees regulation changes to allow non-physicians like nurses, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants to provide more services until all this happens, Marks said, to get used to increased wait times. Disney sets Tiana Bayou adventure debut by Eve Chen. People are going to come here from everywhere, and I'm almost there. Tiana's pre-sent lyrics are about to become reality at Walt Disney World. Tiana's Bayou Adventure will open June 28th at Florida Resort, Disney announced Sunday during Disney Songbook Night on ABC's American Idol. The opening date is almost exactly 4 years after Disney first announced that it would be replacing Splash Mountain with a story inspired by The Princess and the Frog. The reimagining is also underway at Disneyland in California, which will open Tiana's Bayou Adventure later this year. Here's what travelers should expect about the highly anticipated ride. It's not retelling of The Princess and the Frog. Tiana's Bayou Adventure is set after the events of The Princess and the Frog. Having achieved her dreams, Tiana is now giving back to her community through a new co-op called Tiana's Food, which is built into a new incarnation of Splash Mountain's mountain guests will learn all it in the ride's queue, which will smell like beignets. Guests will travel along the bayou as Tiana prepares to throw a big Mardi Gras bash, and everyone is invited. From the music to the art to the inspiration of Tiana herself, late James Beard award-winning chef Leah Chase of Dookie's Chase Restaurant. Tiana's Bayou Adventure will pay tribute to the spirit of New Orleans. She is fantastical, but she came from a very real place, Walt Disney Imagineering Executive Creative Producer VP Charita Carter said in 2022. She hopes guests from Louisiana will ride Tiana's Bayou Adventure and say, yeah, that feels right. Will Tiana Bayou's Adventure have animatronics? The cutting-edge audio and animatronics created for Hong Kong Disneyland's World of Frozen, Shanghai Disney Resort Zootopia, and Tokyo Disney Sea's Fantasy Springs are coming to the Disney U.S. parks with Tiana's Bayou Adventure. In sneak peeks shared by Walt Disney Imagineering, Tiana, Mama, Odie, and Louis the Alligator are seen fluidly moving their arms and swiveling around heads and hips with ease. In addition to the familiar characters from the film, the attraction will feature new musical critters created just for the attraction. Why did Disney close Splash Mountain? Splash Mountain's Briar Rabbit story was inspired by The Song of the South, a 1946 Disney film which had long been criticized for its idealized portrayal of plantation life. Disney has not tied Splash Mountain's closing to The Song of the South, with a way an online petition garnered more than 21,000 signatures in 2020. That June, Disney announced the plans to reimagine Splash Mountain at Disney World and Disneyland with a Princess and the Frog-inspired theme, noting that plans had been in the works since 2019. However, when Disney CEO Bob Iger was asked at a shareholders meeting that March if the film would be added to Disney Plus, he said, "I felt as long as I've been CEO that Song of the South was, even with a disclaimer, was just not appropriate in today's world." The attraction remains open at Tokyo Disney Resort, which is owned by the Oriental Land Company. Drift Along on These 14 Resort Lazy Rivers by Beth Lubrecki. Drifting along a lazy river can offer a peaceful respite during a busy family vacation. I've noticed this flowing water feature popping up more and more at hotels lately, too. But not all lazy rivers are created equal. The best ones offer enough inner tubes so that there's always one available when they're ready to float, along with a ride that feels more like a meandering journey than a quick loop. Bonus points for fun features like music, lights, and uniquely themed design. I'm never one to turn down a lazy river, and now that my daughter is a teenager, it's probably where you'll find me, my husband, and any of my traveling friends whenever we're at a resort while the teens are off racing down water slides or otherwise avoiding their parents. Here are the picks for the best U.S. hotels with lazy rivers with kid-friendly and parent-pleasing features. Four Seasons Resort Orlando at Walt Disney World Studios. Orlando, Florida. Take your next theme park vacation up a notch with a stay at Four Seasons Resort Orlando at Walt Disney World Resort. The hotel's on-site Disney Planning Center, complimentary motor coach transportation to parks, and early theme park entry make visiting the Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios a breeze. But when you need a break from the rides and shows, the AAA Five Diamond Resort offers amenities like 5-acre Explorer Island Water Park. It's at the water park you'll find a lazy river with spray cannons, a waterfall, and rapid sections, and two water slides, a splash zone, and zero-entry pool. Grown-ups will appreciate the on-site spa, golf course, and resort's Michelin-starred rooftop Kappa Steakhouse, while the younger members of the family will love spending time at the complimentary Kids and Teens Club. Camelback Lodge, Tannersville, Pennsylvania. You can have fun all year at Camelback Lodge, which is a part of Camelback Resort in Pennsylvania, Pocono Mountains. The 8-story mountain hotel is home to the Aquatopia Indoor Water Park, where it's always 84 degrees and the sun shines through North America's largest Texlong transparent roof. In addition to braving more than a dozen water slides here, you can also grab a tube and float down the Lost River. Sound effects, LED lights, and features like waterfalls, arcing sprays add some excitement to the nearly 500-foot, not-so-lazy river. Beyond the resort park, the resort also features another indoor fun zone with an arcade, rock climbing wall, ropes course, bumper cars, and other attractions. An adventure awaits outdoors on the mountainside no matter what time of year. Aulani, a Disney resort and spa in Oahu, Hawaii. Combining the magic of Disney with the beauty of Hawaii, Aulani, a Disney resort and spa, makes a pretty special place for a family vacation. It's not surprising that the island resort offers lots of ways for kids of all ages to make a splash within the expansive Waikolu Valley pool area. The Waikolu Stream, Lazy River flows past rock formations, caverns, and springs, inspired by Oahu's natural landscape. You can grab a tube or enter the stream in a more dramatic way by shooting down the Tube Stone Curl waterside. There are also splash zones and a private snorkeling lagoon to explore, plus beaches, activities, Disney character experiences, a luau, and all kinds of other family fun to be had at the resort. Fairfield Inn Suites Pensacola Beach, Pensacola Beach, Florida. The brand new Fairfield Inn and the Suites Pensacola Beach is home to one of the largest lazy rivers in Florida Panhandle. At 315 feet long, the 60,000-gallon water ride takes you past palm trees, three waterfalls, and the resort's zero-entry pool. book one of the King Beach front suites that includes bunk beds for the kiddos, then spend your days at the pool area or on the white sand beach. A complimentary hot breakfast is available each day, and Fish Heads Bar and Grill offers fish tacos, cheeseburgers, and tropical cocktails with views of the Gulf of Mexico. You can always work off your dining excess in the fitness center, overlooking the Santa Rosa Sound. The 11-story, 209-room resort, also considered function along with fun, it was built with the window that can with windows that can withstand Category 5 hurricane winds and structural pilings that go down more than 7 stories to help it withstand any storm that comes its way. Grand Hyatt Kiowa Resort and Spa, Kōlua, Hawaii. Lava rocks line Lazy River at the Grand Hyatt Kiowa Resort and Spa, which floats past waterfalls and secret caves. That's just one way to get wet at the resort, where you can also take a dip in the multi-level pools and saltwater lagoon with islands to swim to and the Pacific Ocean from the white sands of Popu Beach. Rooms and suites with lots of tropical touches offer garden, mountain, or ocean views, and hotel restaurants serve dishes made with sustainably sourced ingredients from local vendors. Families can learn more about Hawaiian culture and tradition at the on-site Luau and Resorts Cultural Center, which offers lessons in hula dancing, playing the ukulele, and making flower leis. Kingsmill Resort, Williamsburg, Virginia. You can go back in time by visiting Colonial Williamsburg, but still enjoy modern luxuries with a stay at Kingsmill Resort. Situated on the historic James River and condominium resorts offer standard guest rooms along with a range of multi-bedroom options for families of all sizes. At the seasonal river pool, a winding lazy river overlooks a real one nearby, and as well as a water slide or pool bar. There's also another outdoor pool and indoor pool at the resort's sports club, where you can play racquetball and take fitness classes. Kingsmill is well known for its 3 18-hole championship golf courses, but also offers 15 tennis courts and a full-service marina and spa. Holiday Inn Resort, Panama City Beach. Panama City Beach, Florida. The new 5,000-square-foot lazy river at the Holiday Inn Resort, Panama City Beach, takes you along the resort's Gulf of Mexico beachfront. The length of almost 2 football fields and holding more than 81,000 gallons, the lazy river boasts a zero-depth entry and underwater speakers providing a splash-tastic soundtrack. The resort also offers a kiddie pool, water playground, and lagoon-style pool where dive-in movies are screened in the evenings. Golf front rooms all have private balconies and other amenities, including a spa and fitness center, daily activities for kids ages 5 to 12, and 4 on-site restaurants that take the stress out of deciding where to eat. Hyatt Regency Hill County Resort and Spa. San Antonio, Texas, situated on 300 acres of historic ranch land, the Hyatt Regency Hill Country Resort and Spa feels like an escape, but is still close to attractions like SeaWorld San Antonio and San Antonio Riverwalk. But it might be hard to leave the resort's 5-acre water park that's heated and open year-round. The Lazy River was designed to give riders the experience of floating on a Texas river with a dark bottom and live oak trees lining the winding route. A 2-story water slide, multiple pools, and a flow rider wave simulation machine add to the fun, and other resort amenities include a full-service spa, 27-hole golf course, walking and biking trails, and evening s'mores by a campfire. Weston Kierland Resort and Spa, Scottsdale, Arizona. The Weston Kierland Resort and Spa may be situated within the Sonoran Desert, but it's still possible to make a splash by heading to the resort's Adventure Water Park. A lazy river flows through the area, and you can make a float even more relaxing by reserving the Tommy Bahama Relaxation Reef, a private island within the river with chairs for lounging. A 110-foot waterslide and flow rider simulator offer more high-speed thrills, and the resort's pools are a perfect place to head after a round of golf or spa treatment. A kids club offers activities for 4 to 12-year-olds, while campfires and s'mores, a resort-wide scavenger hunt, and the nearby Kierland Commons outdoor dining and shopping center offer more fun for the whole family. Marriott Marquis Houston, Houston, Texas. Book a room at the Marriott Marquis Houston and you'll be close to downtown Houston's sights and attractions like Discovery Green and Minute Maid Park. You can get a bird's eye view of the area from the 6th floor, altitude rooftop and pool, where you'll find the hotel's one-of-a-kind Texas-shaped lazy river. It takes more than 15 minutes to complete a circuit, and while kids are afloat, the grown-ups can take a dip in the infinity pool, sip a cocktail from the rooftop high-dive restaurant, or stretch out in a lounge chair or private cabana. Comfortable rooms and suites, 5 on-site dining options, and fitness center and spa make the hotel a great choice for everyone in the family. Omni Rancho Las Palmas Resort and Spa, Rancho Mirage, California. Beat the Palm Springs heat at Omni Rancho Las Palmas Resort and Spa in Splashtopia Water Park. A 425-foot lazy river encircles the park, which also features 200-foot water slides, a cliffside hot tub, water play zones with fountains and sprinklers, and a grill serving poolside eats and drinks. Guest rooms and suites are done up in Spanish colonial style, and the resort offers several restaurants and bars, 27 holes of championship golf, 18 tennis courts, 8 pickleball courts, and a spa and seasonal kids and family activities. JW Marriott Phoenix Desert Ridge Resort and Spa. Phoenix, Arizona, Aqua Ridge Water Park at JW Marriott Phoenix Desert Ridge Resort and Spa is an oasis within Sonoran Desert Resort. You can take it easy while floating along the Canyon Creek Lazy River or make a big splash with the 3 new multi-story water slides. Book a patio, fire pit room for some special family time in the evenings, dine on the Southwestern cuisine at Tia Carmen Restaurant, and check the resort's activities guide for fun ways to spend time together as a family. JW Marriott San Antonio Hill County Resort and Spa, San Antonio, Texas. There's a lot to explore in Texas's scenic hill country, but there's also a lot to explore within the 9-acre River Bluff water experience at the JW Marriott San Antonio Hill Country Resort and Spa. In 1,100-foot lazy river meanders around the water park, and the Pernales River water experience features a current that mimics the flow of a natural river. Water slides and multiple pools add to the refreshing fun, including a sand beach pool where kids can construct castles on the shore. Grand Walia Maui Resort, Maui, Hawaii. You'll be thankful there's a lazy river at the Walia County Activity Pool area at Grand Walia, because you'll need the break from all the action. Just check these stats. 9 pools spread over 6 levels, 7 water slides, a rope swing, a swim-up bar, and the world's first water elevator. Walia Beach also awaits, where the whole family can snorkel, kayak, and paddleboard. You'll definitely need a relaxing float after your experience of all that. The views and opinions expressed in this column are authors and do not necessarily reflect those of USA Today. FamilyVacationist.com and TourScoop.com are owned and operated by Vacationist Media, LLC. Using the Family Vacationist Travel Recommendations methodology, we review and select family vacation ideas, family vacation spots, all-inclusive family resorts, and classic family vacations for all ages. Tour Scoop covers guided group tours and tour operator reviews, tour and intervary reviews, and travel gear recommendations. 50 states. Montgomery, Alabama. The Alabama legislature failed to pass heavily debated gaming bills on Thursday, the final day of the state's legislative session. Juneau, Alaska. As the clock ticks towards the end of Alaska's legislative session, a bipartisan election reform bill that the Senate State Affairs Committee advanced has run into significant obstacles. Arizona, Tonto Basin. For nearly 4 decades, Gila County residents have been asking for a bridge that would allow them to cross the Tonto Basin Creek safely during times of high flooding. Next month, their wishes will be granted. The $25 million Tonto Creek Bridge is set to open in late June, according to the county officials. Little Rock, Arkansas. A federal judge issued a partial ruling in a constitutional challenge to Arkansas's Learns Act, which students and teachers challenged the suit, say, chills speech in public school classrooms. Judge Lee Rudvosky, in his order of a partial preliminary injunction against the state, said that until there's a final decision in the case, the state can prevent or punish the plaintiff's teaching of history or theory unless it's explicitly discriminatory and the students are forced to agree with it. San Francisco, California. A Northern California couple is facing drug and child endangerment charges after prosecutors says authorities found a backpack with nearly 25,000 fentanyl pills inside it underneath their child's crib. Fort Collins, Colorado. A woman's dog helped her escape a bad situation when it bit a man's face when he tried to sexually assault her, police say. Lebanon, Connecticut. 2 horses that were struck in the mud in a swampy area in the woods were rescued by firefighters. Fenwick Island, Delaware. A juvenile gray seal that died after being found in Fenwick Island suffered bite wounds and had been shot at least once, according to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. Washington, D.C. Dozens gathered for a vigil honoring a 3-year-old who was shot and killed while inside a car earlier this month. Jacksonville, Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis threw his support behind $75 million in next year's state budget for putting a University of Florida graduate campus in Jacksonville, pushing it another step closer to a $300 million target set by UF for building it. Atlanta, Georgia. Hundreds of high school students who are anticipating attending Georgia State University received a surprise when their acceptance letters were revoked. About 1,500 students received an acceptance letter from the university, but the university said that the students who had incomplete applications received the letter by mistake. Honolulu, Hawaii. Hawaii residents are disappointed that state lawmakers ended the legislative session without advancing a bill to strengthen the independence of the state's water commission. Challis, Idaho. A prominent Idaho emergency room doctor known as an experienced backcountry skier was killed after he triggered an avalanche while skiing on Donaldson's Peak in Idaho's Lost River Range Friday, a preliminary report found. Chicago, Illinois. A man charged with attempted murder now stands accused of committing a hate crime when police said he shot and injured his neighbor in Lockport Township. Indianapolis, Indiana. In a packed state school board meeting last week, teachers from across the state shared their frustration and anger with the Indiana Department of Education's rollout of new early literary endorsement requirements, which they say place too many burdens on teachers. Des Moines, Iowa. The U.S. Department of Justice officially filed suit against Iowa, arguing that the state's new immigration law criminalizing illegal reentry is unconstitutional and should be blocked from going into effect. Topeka, Kansas. A federal judge in Kansas is expected to decide this summer whether to block a government student loan debt relief program, a decision that would likely have national implications. Walton, Kentucky. A months-long clash between a mayor and city council reached a climax at a meeting with a scribbled two-sentence note on the back of an envelope. I quit. I'll turn my keys in when I clear out my office this week. It was signed by Gay Brown, the now former mayor of Walton. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Public libraries are in the crosshairs of new legislation introduced in Louisiana legislature. The five bills targeted public libraries included two proposals that aim to remove obscenity exceptions for public and school libraries and grant authority to municipal governing authorities to remove library board members. Clinton, Maine. A tractor trailer hauling millions of bees rolled over on Interstate 95 Thursday night, according to state police. Biltmore, Maryland. Body camera video captured the shocked reactions of first responders in the aftermath of the collapse of the Baltimore Bridge in March, in which six men were killed. The recordings obtained by local media on Friday offer a snapshot of the incredulity of the officers from the Maryland Natural Resources Policy as they approach the site where the Francis Scott Key Bridge had collapsed. Auburn, Massachusetts. The State Ethics Commission Enforcement Division alleges an Auburn Water District operations manager violated a conflict of interest law by accepting two free ski trips from a water meter manufacturer and its distributor. Detroit, Michigan. After rare coins worth an estimated $3.6 million went missing, a customer of a now-shuttered Bank of America branch in Metro Detroit is questioning whether safe deposit box where the coins have been stored are as safe as their name implies. St. Paul, Minnesota. Minnesota raised its new state flag over its capital on Saturday. The flag was unfurled in the state's Statehood Day holiday and features a stylized outline of the state, an eight-pointed star, and a field of light blue. Jackson, Mississippi. While about 50,000 state residents with past felony convictions will have to wait another year to potentially regain their voting rights, state lawmakers passed 21 individual suffrage bills that passed legislative session. That represents roughly half of the individual requests made between 2021 and 2023 by people who were previously convicted of felonies seeking to regain their voting rights. Jefferson City, Missouri. Governor Mike Parson signed legislation denying Medicaid funds to abortion providers or afflicted entities, which by extension includes Planned Parenthood, even though abortion has been illegal in Missouri since 2022. Helena, Montana. The recent widespread wet storm has brought a measure of relief to parts of Montana reeling from one of the driest winters on record. But water managers say it's too early to tell how much of the water will stick around to sustain streams, crops, and forests through the hottest months of the year, Montana Free Press reported. Lincoln, Nebraska. A recent University of Nebraska Lincoln School of Natural Resources study showed that the state's groundwater levels declined from spring 2022 to spring 2023 due to another year of drought, Omaha World Herald reported. Reno, Nevada. The University of Nevada, Reno could be the site of Reno's new Veterans Administration Medical Center. According to UNR, it's only one of two or three sites under consideration for the new medical center. Concord, New Hampshire. In traditional animal tests, animals like dogs and rabbits can have substances forced down their throats or into their lungs, according to Kurt Ehrenberg, the New Hampshire State Director of Humane Society. A bill in New Hampshire legislature aims to put an end to those practices. New Brunswick, New Jersey. A new report released by Rutgers University delves into the economic inequality experienced by working moms in New Jersey, or what the study calls motherhood penalty. The inequality is some of the worst in the nation, says the reports. Black and Hispanic mothers fared the worst, the report found. The study ranked all 50 states in terms of how much mothers earned compared to their fathers in the workforce, and New Jersey came in 43rd. La Cruces, New Mexico. According to the New Mexico State University Police, 13 members of a group of pro-Palestine protesters were arrested following a sit-in on the New Mexico State University campus. Albany, New York. A pair of civil rights groups sued the New York State Correctional System over what they described as a failure to eliminate the use of solidarity confinement against disabled people in violation of state humane alternatives to long-term solitary confinement act. Durham, North Carolina. Dozens of students participated in a walkout during Duke University's commencement ceremony on Sunday to protest comedian Jerry Seinfeld, a supporter of Israel, who was invited to be the guest speaker. Bismarck, North Dakota. Officials decreased this year's deer licenses in-state to the lowest number since 2016, citing reduced population growth, Bismarck Tribune reported. Columbus, Ohio. Ohioans could be pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt under the bill backed Columbus, Ohio. Ohioans could be pulled over for not wearing a seatbelt under a bill backed by the governor's state Republican John Cross has introduced a bill not wearing a seatbelt primary offense. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. About two-thirds of the students attending Oklahoma City public schools are of Latino descent, a percentage that's steadily growing over the years, but the composition of the district school board hasn't necessarily reflected that. Only five people of Latino descent have ever served on the eight-person board, and only once before now has there been as many as two such people on the board at the same time. Salem, Oregon. A new fentanyl education website for Oregon families launched last week with the aim of reducing significant gaps on the communication with teens and young adults about pills laced with highly lethal synthetic opioid. Erie, Pennsylvania. The Erie School District is exploring whether to sue Facebook, TikTok, and other tech giants over claims that student use of social media platforms has created costly problems in district schools. Greenville, South Carolina. A new former Tanglewood Middle School 7th grade teacher was arrested and charged for carrying a gun on school property. He was fired the same day. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Sioux Falls celebrations could be a little sweeter after a vote repealed a ban on handing out candy at parades. The ban has been placed in place since 1984, when the executive vice president of Sioux Falls Safety Council wrote to the city commission saying children had nearly been injured by floats as they ran into the streets looking for candy. Nashville, Tennessee. While the snow from January's winter storm has long since melted away, the potholes remain. Thus, the Tennessee Department of Transportation efforts to repave roads continues. On May 2nd, the Department of Transportation announced that the department will be investing an additional $15 million and a total of 121 projects statewide to address the lingering potholes. Austin, Texas. The Austin School District's budget deficit for 2024-2025 school year has ballooned by nearly 50% from officials' initial estimate of $60 million to $89 million, district leaders told the school board. Officials expect to slash the deficit to $59 million after $30 million in planned cuts, but more trims could be coming for the $956 million budget. West Valley City, Utah. Officials said that there were no injuries after a tracks train derailed at Drecker Lake Station, and the cause is still unknown, KUTV reported. Burlington, Vermont. Pro-Palestinian protesters began taking down their encampment in the University of Vermont on Wednesday, 10 days after students first erected the tents outside Andrew Harris Commons. Stewartstraff, Virginia. Augusta County authorities say the theft of a sports utility vehicle from a Stardust-Draft residence may be related to discovery of a stolen law equipment in the back of a rented panel truck not far from the residence. Hooslow, Washington. Only 6 months after opening the North Kitsap Recovery Center, the county's first no-cost walk-in treatment center for those with substance use disorder, the city of Pushville already has plans for expanding the innovative facility. Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. During a recent white-tailed deer reduction operations and subsequent disease sampling in Harpers Ferry National Park, two deer tested positive for chronic wasting disease. Madison, Wisconsin. The state Supreme Court is on track to file the lowest number of decisions during its current term compared to any other 20th or 21st century. Cheyenne, Wyoming. Some market analysts say that the coal production could face headwinds as the state's two largest coal producers reported financial operating losses. This completes the money section of USA Today on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024.